How do I intro this again? Just go. What do I start with? Oh yeah, do I say this week on Barbell Shrug? That's how you do it. Yeah, I'm trying to remember. This week on Barbell Shrugged, we talk about how Doug Larson, Chris Moore, Mike Bledsoe, and CTP all train to get stronger.
Hey, this is Rich Froning. You're listening to Barbell Shrugged. For the video version, go to barbellshrugged.com.
How's it going? Can you confirm?
I told you.
I think I see.
We have waves.
I see the squiggly wave line, so that means a good sign. Eh?
I think
it means it's working.
Pumping iron's going to be distracting for me.
Like, look at the man, me.
All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1, shaka, brother.
Welcome to Barbell Shrugged. I'm Mike Bledsoe, standing here with Doug Larson, Chris Moore, got CTP behind the camera, and behind the other camera we have Charlotte. Boom.
Boom. Oh,
Avengers, assemble.
Yeah.
Kicking it in Chris's new garage.
Chris's new garage slash man cave. I don't think I've ever stood inside a man cave as epic as this. This is incredible.
Well, I had a dream, Mike. Now before you were seeing a physical representation of the inner workings of my mind and my history. It's basically what the space is. Which yeah. I love.
And to note, it is Monday and you arrived in your Penske truck on Thursday night.
I drove
night.
Across the country with my father-in-law. God bless you, Dave. Jesus, really, he saved me. He drove the truck the entire way, but we left Memphis Tuesday at 1 p.m., and we got to Encinitas Thursday at like 5 or 6 p.m. And then 2 days later, this was done.
It was amazing. All right, guys, before we go any further, make sure to go to barbellshrug.com, sign up for the newsletter, and you can find out how you, too, can build a cave like this. Yeah,
I might do a man cave guide in the future.
I have a feeling he's going to put together an ebook about how to make
go sign up for the newsletter, cave. Maybe you'll get that one day. Yeah.
Today we're going to be talking about what we do for training, what we do now. We're all strength athletes. We've all been pursuing strength I personally been pursuing strength and allowed to go to the weight room for 18 years now. How about you, Doug?
I started training when I was for this type of stuff, like squats, heavy deads, cleans and whatnot, when I was 14. I'm 31 now, so 15, 16, 17 years in this world.
17. I got one more than you.
And before that, because you're old.
Shut up.
Before that, I did gymnastics when I was super young. So I had some training experience before I started doing barbell work.
Gymnastics helps.
Gymnastics helped a ton.
Yeah.
Man, that was like the best thing I ever could have possibly have done when I was a little kid. I never had mobility restrictions. Like, I was stronger than a normal 6-year-old, and it carried over.
Dude, that's 6-year-old. They can surprise you.
Yeah.
Kindergarten
being able to
really
do the splits since you were a little kid helps with everything.
Absolutely.
Especially learning weightlifting.
If I ever have kids, gymnastics for sure.
Mm-hmm.
How about you, Chris? How long have you been doing this?
Well, I'm 34, and dog years like 79. Training years. And then I've started lifting weights in my friend's backyard when I was 10 or 11, so 24, 25 years, something like that.
Damn. So between the three of us, I think we have a pretty good amount of experience.
We have something to say, and it's rooted in actual experience. And we also study this shit, too. Read magazines and books and all kinds of stuff.
Lots of magazines, mostly.
Lots of magazines. Well, hey, man, Flex, Flex Magazine was is better than nothing.
We've been training this long, and we're not exactly running a lot of drugs to stay in the game. So I want to put that out there, too.
Like, oh, yeah, we are au natural, and it shows when you try to lift in front of you, and you go, oh, these guys aren't as strong as I thought. That's a joke.
I don't know why I'm not strong, that's why.
Yeah, but we have to battle recovery issues and time restrictions because we're busy like normal people. We don't do training full-time, so we have to manage it like anybody else. We have the pain and wear and tear from history of athletics and pursuit, so we have to deal with everything that everybody else is dealing with.
Yeah, I'm just saying, be careful. Sometimes people seem like they're doing everything, and they're recovering really well, and it's hard to explain why. But and then you try to follow what they do, and you don't understand why you can't recover. That might
and
be
let's
why.
Just say, wink, wink, you're not taking the right medicine. So, there you go.
But we're going to talk about how we train after, 15-plus years of training. We have a lot of history. And so what we do now might be a little bit different than what you do as a beginner. If, say, you haven't been training longer than 5 years, your training might need to look a lot different until you have a large training history.
Like mine.
Like CTP behind the camera, he's actually mic'd up, so
he's going to tell his story later on.
He's a lot newer to training than the rest of us. So
ladies, keep ready.
He's actually doing a lot of things that that we all think he should be doing as a more beginner strength athlete.
So good job, CTP.
Yeah.
So
what are you doing right now for your strength work?
Man, I've done a lot of different stuff over the years, kind of as you were just saying, but lately, I feel like I dug myself into a pretty nasty hole back when I was competing in MMA full-time and competing as a weightlifting athlete full-time, and I used to do crazy volume, and I think that eventually, you know, caught up to me, especially as I got older. Now that I'm 31, I can't do that volume anymore and feel good.
If you were a full-time athlete, you could probably handle it, but the fact that you have a job makes it a little bit harder to recover.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly does, but I feel like I can handle the volume. Like I can mentally tolerate the volume.
Oh, yeah.
I can get through the workouts. I can feel good, but my joints don't tolerate the volume that well anymore.
That's what's
I wake up achier. No. I rarely have injuries, but I just wake up way achier than I used to. So lately, what's worked really well for me to get away from that was I started doing more of an upper lower split. I've been doing mostly strength work in the gym lately, and then now that I'm back doing more jiu-jits and I kind of live out in the hills, I've been doing trail running and a lot of hill sprints and whatnot. I've been kind of separating my day or my days rather into more strength focused days and more work capacity style days or skill days where I'll kind of have two weight room days and then an off day, whether I go do jiu-jitsu or I box or I go trail running or I run hill sprints or I just go to the gym and just push the prowler and do mobility work. Like I'll have like two hard days and then kind of an off day where I do something else that is just fun for me.
That's physical activity.
What was that split, Doug? What days are you training upper and lower or whatever? How much time between?
So right now I don't have I do Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, or like a 4-day split like that necessarily. I just kind of keep the order. So I'll do like a lower day, an upper day, and then kind of an off cardio, jiu-jitsu, boxing type day
since
I still love MMA.
And the sequence stays so you have recovery time.
Right. And then rest days, they kind of just creep their way in there. If I have a particularly busy day.
It's weird how those rest days just creep into my schedule.
Yeah. I mean, we travel a ton. And so a lot of times on a travel day, I'll just go, perfect. That's my rest day. Yeah. And I know that that's going to be my rest day that day. Or some days we're just swamped busy and I just don't have time to train that day. And so I'll know that day is going to be my rest day. And so basically I just train every day that I can. And then the rest days, they always just seem to happen. If for whatever reason, you know, I don't have a particularly busy week, and I don't have a day that's going to automatically be the rest day, then, you know, I will just take a day off every once in a while. But I tend to train between 3 and 5 days in a row, and then I take a day off, and it just seems to always kind of naturally happen like that. But by and large, if I have the opportunity to train, then I do. Yeah. So lately, the upper-lower split's been really good for me. It's been really easy on my joints, and I felt a lot better. You know, my elbows, especially my elbows and my neck. I had some neck problems there for a while from boxing and jiu-jits. My elbows, my neck, my low back was a little achy there for a while. And right now I feel fantastic. And I really think switching onto that upper lower split, which a lot of guys find, especially as they get more and more experienced, especially if you talk to kind of the West Side powerlifting style world, all those guys do an upper lower split because they can train hard and heavy, and then they can recover enough with that upper lower split to make a lot of gains with muscle mass, make a lot of gains with strength without beating their body up too much. And it took Louis a long time to figure that out without initially, if you watch the episode we did with Louis, and just the conversations we've had with them, they broke a lot of people before they figured out that style.
Yeah, one of the things
there's a lot more that goes into it than that. But
Theoretically, you should just fine, especially when you're a beginner, you can squat like on a Monday. And Tuesday, you should be able to bench press. The problem when you're a powerlifter, you start getting stronger, even your CrossFit, you start squatting like 500 pounds or 400 pounds. Mm-hmm. The load on your shoulders gets a little rough. It's hard to recover from the squatting in time to then blast your shoulders with pressing or something, for example. So, that's an amazing way of just spacing it out.
Yeah.
The more experience you get, it's the easiest way to manage the fatigue.
Yeah, I think, when you're less experienced doing a squat, it feels like a lower body movement. And, once you get 500 pounds on the bar on your
it's
shoulders,
everything.
Like, your whole body is...
You'd ask Jesse Burdick or any powerlifter now, Mark Belling, these guys, like, every lift is a total body lift. If you don't think you're using your legs and your abs and your back when you bench press, for example... That's probably why you don't bench as much as you could if you're a powerlifter. Same thing is true of a press. If you're just standing and pushing with your arms above your head and not utilizing your abs and your ass and your everything, even your feet, the paw, and grip the ground, then you're missing like 30 pounds on a press potentially. Who knows?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Even if it's 5 pounds, and every time you press, if you could lift 5 more pounds, the cumulative effect of that's huge. All because you're not pawing the ground with your feet or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So all that being said, What I didn't say was, I found it. I figured it out. Upper lower split is the way to go for everyone in every situation forever. That's not what I said at all. So for me, I tried that lately, knowing that there was a high likelihood that as beat up as I felt, this would be a good way to make an adjustment and still be able to train regularly, make some good progress, and be able to, you know, decrease the amount of achy joints that I had so I could get back to doing jiu-jitsu and boxing and some of these other things that I really enjoy. I don't have any CrossFit competitions. You know, I'm not competing in grid. I'm not doing weightlifting right now. I'm not doing powerlifting. I'm just training to feel good and have a good time. And so that's worked very well for me lately.
Takes the pressure off.
It does.
I find that anytime I'm competing or I'm signing up for a competition, I usually run right up to injury. Mm-hmm.
You're injured all
sometimes
the time.
Sometimes right over it.
Right, yeah, right.
Speed bump along
the
way.
No, but I mean, if you're doing it right, I mean, like a lot of times I get injured right after a competition. It's like,
Technically, that's not
doing it right, but like when you're pushing to the edge of performance, injury or getting sick or something like that is actually pretty common. Like most people who are at the competition level, like most athletes at the CrossFit Games, like the week of the games or the week after the games, they get sick or they're like on the edge of being sick or something like that.
Because all that matters is how you perform. You're not really worried about the health after it because you're trying to get that money, man. You know?
Yeah.
You ain't worried about your health.
Yeah, so I mean, it sounds like you're on the health path versus the...
You're on the health path. Cough, cough.
Oh, I was going to say, I think most of us have not been on the health path.
Doug's
most
got a kid. He wants to see him grow up.
We've all spent most of our lives chasing performance, and then we've all known that like we're sacrificing some health, you know, along the way.
Yeah. It's like our buddy Lauren says. He's like, weightlifting is very good for you unless you compete in it. That's not
like
so good for you anymore.
The worst possible thing to do for your health.
It's pretty rough on your body.
You got to make your run and then stop as soon as your shoulders go numb when you just tie your shoes in the morning. That's what I think.
So actually, on that note of being on the health path, I've been doing a lot more tempo work and pause work lately. Intentionally doing, you know, like a pause front squat or intentionally doing deadlifts with a pause 2 inches off the ground. You know, pick up the weight 2 inches off the ground, pause for 3 seconds, maybe go right below the knee, pause again for 3 seconds, and then complete the lift.
Yeah, Travis Mash actually wrote an article about that. Yeah. It was on the daily. So if you want to read about how to do those pause deadlifts and the benefits and all that kind of stuff,
building your pull pause work or something like that, you can search. There's a little search bar on the website. You can check it out. Just search for Travis Mash.
Yeah. Then you go to MashMafia.com, pick up one of these sweet shirts that I'm wearing right now.
Do what I want, bitch.
Do what I want. But yeah, man, we've had a big influence from Travis for how we program for our own workouts. I know a lot of stuff that you did for a long time since Travis was your coach there for a while. You did a lot of things that were very much his style during that time since he was writing your workouts, and then that's influenced the way that you write workouts ever since.
Absolutely.
You have any examples of that? If you don't, I have some for you.
Doing a lot of the down sets, you know, finding a rep max, and then not that that was like my first exposure to it, but it was my first time where I lived in it for 4 or 5 months.
It got an actual effect from it.
Yeah, I lived in that, like, this is what we're doing all the time. It's like Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We're doing, a rep max followed by some downsets. You know, go down to 95%, do more reps.
So you might go to 90%, like a 5 RM on a squat, for example.
Go to 5 RM
or
on a squat.
Or 8 RM.
And then go to 95%, do another 5.
Or 8
RM. Go down to 90%, do another one. Yeah, it could be an 8 RM, 10 RM, 12 RM with some downsets.
Did he have
after
to do
that,
like 10, 12 for a block and then go down to 5 and the 3? Like, did he? You did a high rep phase and a moderate rep phase.
I mean, it depends on which part of the cycle, how close I was to a competition, what the rep range looked like. But definitely the further out from the competition, the reps were a lot higher. I saw huge benefits from that style of training for strength. The problem was is just the recovery necessary to train like that was you have to. I mean,
this
I think that's
hard.
I personally think that's the best way to get strong. You know, and I like to program for people who are trying to get strong, do the rep max followed by the sets afterwards. And you can use a ton of movement. And you can do that with ollie lifts as well. Find a 3 rep max, drop to 90%, do some more.
I know we do a lot of that in the Muscle Gain Challenge and in the flight program. Yeah. Where you'll build up to like a 5 rep max and then you'll go 90% for 5x5. And so if you did a 5 rep max at 200 pounds, then you would just take off 10%, which is 20 pounds. You go down to 180 pounds and you do 5x5 at 180 pounds. That's an easy way to get in a lot of volume so you can put on muscle mass and get strong without beating yourself up too bad.
And it's potentiated. You do the heavy set, then you back off to the light set. Now all the 5x5 sets feel really light. Whereas if you just worked up to 180 and did 5x5, half the sets are still warm-up sets, and your mind is still not in the zone to actually lift heavy. So if you go up above, going down feels like, okay, this is the easy stuff. Mm-hmm. In actuality, before, it'd be really hard for you.
Until you get to like set three, and then you're like, no, this is heavy.
You're like, okay, now I'm a hurl, so hurl my boot.
Yeah, but I see a lot of benefit from that style of training. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how long someone can stick with that. It all comes down to like, what's your recovery like? Are you just in between workouts, are you recovering well? Are you, you know, taking time after competition to kind of take care of yourself? Are you getting massage therapy? You know, there's all these different recovery methods. But if you train like that and you just go, I'll eat however I want and I'll get 6 hours of sleep, you will fall apart.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You have to get your 8-9 hours of sleep. You have to be eating right. Like, it's
the recovery has to be as intense as the training.
Yeah. So, and when I talk about doing Travis's program, I was in the gym for like 3 hours a day. So
yeah,
like,
he does a lot of volume.
A lot of the stuff we were doing, I like the rep max and then the down set, but maybe a lot of times when I program from other people, they're not in the gym for 3 hours. It's like an hour and a half. So the total volume is lower,
right,
but that style is the same.
Yeah, and Travis is very open about not giving a shit if your joints are achy. He is there to win, and that is it.
This is competition.
He is 100% competitor. He's not concerned about your health compared to competition. He's concerned about your health, you as a person.
He loves you.
Yeah, he's a very loving person. But he is there to make you a fucking winner.
Yeah.
So you're going to be there for a long time. You're going to do a lot of volume. You're going to have to dedicate basically your life to weightlifting or powerlifting, and if you don't like it and you don't like that style of training and you're concerned about your achy wrist or your achy shoulder or your achy back, then you basically can go fuck yourself and go find something else to do.
Hey, no offense, but get the fuck out of here.
Oh yeah, I mean, there's a lot of achy joints involved in training. I mean,
and there'll be some dark
moments. He's not a dick about that. He's just very honest. Like, if you are here to win.
Yeah, there's no, like, anytime I've been in a competition phase of training for weightlifting, nothing's felt good. I mean, I go to bed at night and I'm just like, my whole body's going wow.
It's like
wow, wow. And it's like,
if flag
shit.
Football is like general fitness, then like competitive college one football is like what you're trying to do when you're way out there. It's not like fun and casual. Hey, let's go work out, man. We want to do these. Some snatches. All right. Hey, almost got that PR, Chuck. No, it's like, if we don't do this, nothing else matters. This is our body and everything on the line. You're heavily invested in it and you're going to take the risk to get it done. That's how you see these guys. Like, the guys at the training center, they're not like also going home and living in a posh apartment, and they have all the best foods, all from Whole Foods, of course, and they drive a fucking Audi leased fresh 2015. No, they're fucking almost poor because everything and all they are is weightlifting for this time. Mm-hmm. And you commit fully.
Yeah. Another thing I've been doing on my lower body day, I've been basically doing a rotation of three different types of day. I've been having, again, I'm doing this purely for fun. I've been having a weightlifting focused day, which is, for me, kind of a more... Obviously, I do, you know, snatches, cleans, clean pulls, snatch pulls, things like that. And then the rest of the day is kind of more of a quad dominant vertical torso type day. So I would do front squats or high bar back squats, or even in this case, I would do something like a pistol, something that's very a quad dominant, very vertical torso type movement, where I'm going to have, you know, sore thighs rather than sore glutes and hamstrings, ideally the next day. And then the other day I would do something that's more hip dominant, where I'm bending over a lot. I'm doing RDLs and good mornings and deadlifts and one leg RDLs and kettlebell swings. And then the third day is more of a kind of a lighter day. It's more of a volume day. Those other days are heavier days. And then the third day is more of a volume oriented day, where I do a lot of single leg work. So I'll do step ups and maybe I do pistols on that day too, and rear for elevated split squats, and I'll push the prowler and I'll run hill sprints. Like, it's more of an athletic day, because I do sprinting and agility drills and whatnot, and then I just do a lot of volume, usually in some type of a split stance or on one leg somewhere or another.
Yeah.
So that's been a good way to get me a lot of variety, and then that third day really makes it where my back gets that extra day to recover, because the load on my shoulders is very low on the day, because I'm not doing heavy deads, heavy cleans, heavy squats on that third day.
Nice.
We're already at Doug. That's all we've gotten to. And as the beginner in the group, I feel like if I was to be listening to this, which I am, by the way, I would be asking, okay, cool, you got your down sets, you got your pause squats, you got your this, you got your that. How do I connect it all? And I feel like it's important to point out that it's, you know, you guys have the benefit of, you know, years and years and years of sticking to multiple programs all the way through, so that when they now become like a tool in your toolbox, where you could say,
sure,
I could do this, I could do that. And but for me, since I haven't done a whole bunch of programs, I'm like, well, fuck, when do I do them? But to you, I guess my question is it just so like, well, yeah, that's what I do, because is that a correct assumption on my part, that you, like, because you've done it for so long and you've experienced it all in different ways, you know when to do what? Or you just kind of...
I do just know when to do what. You want more of like a weekly structure of what I'm doing? What are you asking?
No, like I it just
when you, how would the beginner work this into their programming? Like, yeah, like where would it fit or kind
of? So anytime I program any workout for any day, I generally follow a template of speed work, power explosive work, which would be like Olympic stuff would be in that category, strength work, volume or hypertrophy work, and then conditioning at the end. And that's kind of the general template of every day that I do. So I might run sprints and then do Olympic stuff and then do a heavy squat and then do something that where it's like, you know, four sets of eight of, you know, lunges or something like that. Something that's like not a core movement, but, you know, is a quality movement that you're going to do for a little more volume. And then I would do my Metcon at that point after I've done all my strength and volume work. So you could do whatever Metcon you wanted. And then if you want to do like row intervals or push the prowl or something like that at the end, then that would be like how I tend to think of all workouts. They don't all fall into that category 100%, but that structure is how I generally design workouts for myself and other people.
When do I do Fran?
During the Metcon portion.
Oh, okay.
Duh.
You know, if you're testing, you just warm up and do it.
Yeah.
But if you're just throwing it into the workout, then that's probably the best place to do it. You would show up. I tend to run hill sprints almost every day that I train. I warm up and then hill sprints, you know, really make me feel like I'm 100% warm
well,
at the end of it.
This explains why he's so much better at running than me.
So hill sprints.
Smoke your ass on trail runs, by the way.
Do your Olympic stuff. Do some heavy squats. If you want to perform well on Fran, then you probably wouldn't do a whole lot of like volume on, this is a lower body day example for me at the moment, but you probably wouldn't do like, you know, four sets of eight lunges heavy per leg and then go do Fran. You wouldn't perform very well on Fran. But if you don't give a shit what you get on Fran, you're just trying to get the volume from that workout, then doing that would be just fine. Yeah. And then if you had it in you could go do some row intervals and go home. Yeah. So you don't have to do it like that every time, but that's generally how I structure my day.
Did that cover your question there, CTP?
I don't know. Now I feel like I just confused you. I don't think I necessarily had a question. I was just pointing out that it seems to me like
I was just trying to fuck with Doug, to be honest with you. That's what you're saying?
I think all three of us, the problem with having this conversation and relating it back to someone who's a beginner is, yeah, we did do all these different programs over the years, and we are kind of tuned in. I mean, for me personally,
I guess that's what I'm saying. Like, as the beginner me, listening, should I be like, well, why don't I not know when to do that? But yeah, you know, because you've done it for years.
It's one of those things is you'll know when you know.
Right.
Like you'll know when you're like, people are like, oh, am I there yet? It's like, if you're asking the question, the answer is no.
Where there is doubt, there is no doubt. There's your answer.
Yeah. So like, for me too, like, I know what to do. Like, I can wake up that morning and go, oh, I know what I need to do today. Like, I can be tuned into that. There's guys that they measure HRV and all this stuff. And they go, oh, today's a good day to lift or a good day for aerobic work or something like that. But the experienced athlete and the good athlete's going to wake up in the morning and know that data just because of how they feel, how they performed in the past. Mm-hmm. It's a subconscious thing. You wake up and go, oh, today is a cardio day. Today is the day when I pull back from weightlifting and I go for a jog instead.
I think one thing people can practice is being highly observant of how they feel and then how they did day. And then over the course of a year, 2 years, 3 years, and then certainly over the course of a decade as you get more and more into it, you have more and more experience where you go, I felt like shit last time I had a bad workout. Maybe this time I'll adjust because I feel kind of the same way. I mean, you repeat that 1,000 times, it starts sticking.
But before you get to that, you have to do a lot of workouts and do it no matter how you feel. You've got to because your body will lie to you. It'll tell you you feel bad when you're going to perform well. So, like, you've got to learn even when that's happening. And so you've got to do a lot of – I think 10 years plus for a lot of people, and different people are going to tune in faster than others. I think that's one reason Rich Froning is as successful as he is because I think he's just naturally more tapped into what his body's doing. When he wakes up in the morning, he's like, oh, I feel like doing this.
Oh, he's
and
so,
he's right.
He's tapped into his body.
He's so tapped. Yeah. But I think it takes, you know, a decade or longer of following someone else's plan no matter what, just doing it every day, kind of taking, oh, okay, these were the kind of the results. This is what I did this past weekend. Plus, you know, I know if I stay up late last night at a concert, today is not the day to, max out on deadlift. You know, I want to make sure that, you know, I had a good, you know, a lot of rest before something like that.
That said, every once in a while you're going to do that shit anyway because that's how you get hurt once a year. You go, you know what? I know I shouldn't do this shit, but you know what? I'm rolling the dice. It's the new year. And then, bang, hurt. Do as I say.
Well, I might add that 99% of the time I'm right on point. So it's that 1% that I still get screwed
up. It's that 1% of the time once a year where I get hurt every May. That's when I try to get strong.
Hey, it's May right now, and I am injury-free, actually, my friend.
So far.
I know. We're only a third of the way through the month.
What have you been doing for training?
I have been doing I have actually since I moved to Southern California, I have
6 months ago.
I bumped my physical activity considerably, like just my physical activity on the daily.
Outdoor play.
It's just so easy to be outside here.
It is.
I'm
you know, before, like, all my physical activity happened in the gym, and it just wasn't as convenient. So, but what I've found since moving here is the time in the gym has actually gone down a bit, and the physical activity has gone up. I'm probably being physically active 2 to 3 hours a day. On average, but that's surfing, running, doing a little bit of yoga, doing a lot of gymnastics stuff, doing a lot of calisthenics, and then I'm still getting in the gym. And when I get in the gym, I get as much bang for my buck as possible. So like, I weightlifted for 8 years, so I did snatch and clean and jerk almost every day for 8-9 years. So it's like, okay. And I'm not competing in that anymore. So now it's like, okay, I'm going to see how much bang for my buck I can get in an hour. Do I really need to work on snatch? The answer is no. So I've been doing a lot more powerlifting. I've been doing a lot of pressing, bench pressing, deadlifting. I'll tell you, I'm a huge fan of sumo deadlifts. I've always thought they were great for other people, but being a weightlifter, I never did very many sumo deadlifts because there's only so many things you want to get good at, and that's a hard thing to put some time in. I've been doing sumo deadlifts back in my program. Oh, wow.
I don't know why more people
done.
That and barbell rows. Like, why are people not doing this shit?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So I've been doing a lot of, you know, I alternate. I do full body workouts now. So every time I go in, it's full body. I do a squat and a press, or a deadlift and a press, or, I'll do a lower body lift followed by some gymnastics. I do a lot of gymnastics progressions, and then I like to do things like Corey Gregory. We interviewed him, and kind of inspired me to, like, you know, instead of standing in the gym and going, oh, what kind of assistance work can I do for my lower body, it's like, mm-hmm. just go to the beach and do, you know, 1,000 lunges, just go walking lunge until you're like shaking, and it's like, okay, mm-hmm. that's cool. And so, like,
no thinking required.
There's
lunge.
Been I've simplified a lot, so when I get in the gym, like, my goal is to be in and out in an hour. Because guess what? I want to go out and do something outside, so I don't spend as much time in the gym. And that means, and for me, like, a lot of times I'm in the gym for like hour and a half, and to me, that's really short. Like, it's an hour and a half later, I'm like, man, I got out of there really fast. Most people are like, what the hell? I felt like I was in there forever. And I think most new people, especially people who are like used to the CrossFit class, it's like in and out in an hour. That just seems really crazy to me, really.
What kind of effect has getting out helped or had?
I've had more energy. I think just being outside and being more physically active, joints feel great, more energy, because I'm not working on getting good at like one or two things only.
How's your mobility and stuff? Is all this motion helping you be more aligned more often?
Yeah, I think mobility is better. What I do when I get in the lift, I do EMOMs, ascending weight EMOMs. So I start about 60% of my one rep max. And if it's a lower body movement, I add 20 pounds per minute until I do triples until triples get a little shaky. And then I go down to singles, and I rarely hit failure. You know, I just go right until I'm like, okay, another 20 pounds and my form is going to break down. So I cut it off there. So I do that for lower body. I do that for an upper body press or pull. And then I move on to gymnastics for some assistance work. And then I do some lunges, and maybe I'll do some GHRs for some assistance work for lower body. And then, I get a lot of time surfing. So I'm in the water like 3 to 5 days a week, doing a lot of paddling. I like to jog on the beach and whatnot.
Mosquito?
Mostly, I wear as little clothing as possible.
Do you keep your man bag secure?
Maximize, like,
right,
the vitamin
next
D.
To the chode, you know?
Yeah, I got an interesting story about my shorts and running down the road. And well,
you might want to save that one for later.
The cars were crashing.
He had a boner running down the street.
We're trying to fucking teach people here, dude. Not gross them out.
Sometimes it just happens. I don't know.
I feel like I'm
13 years old.
I do like the ascending weight model that you just talked about a second
ago. You gave
like,
me the idea, Doug.
I know.
I'm going to have to give you the credit.
No wonder I liked it.
Ascending weight?
I wasn't going to say anything. I was just going to say I liked it and give an example.
Ascending
but.
Weight? Are we back to his boner already?
The ascending boner model. I like the model of doing like one single barbell where it just gets heavier and heavier and heavier and heavier. So I'll go and I'll do snatch pulls until I can't do another snatch pull with good technique. Again, you could do every minute on the minute, or sometimes every 2 minutes on the minute, depending on you know, how heavy you're going at the time.
Yeah, if you want to compete, like if you're trying to get stronger, yeah, mm-hmm. just add more time in between. The reason I do every minute on the minute is so that my muscles will fatigue before I hurt my joints. That's really the reason.
There you go.
So if I was going for maximal strength, it'd be like every 2 or 3 minutes.
Right. Yeah. So I'll take a barbell and I'll do snatch work first. So I'll do snatch pulls followed by snatch deads and just putting, you know, 10 more kilos on the bar every single set until I can't do any more snatch pulls correctly. Then I'll switch to snatch deadlifts. Once I can't do snatch deadlifts any more correctly, I'll do clean pulls. And then move on to clean deadlifts, and then move on to sumo deadlifts, and then on to regular deadlifts, and it just gets 10 kilos heavier every single minute, and then I just switch,
ooh, I like
switch
that.
Movements Damn. All the way until it's done.
You're doing what I'm doing, but better, I think. Shit.
So that's been something that I've done lately. Almost,
take note.
I treat it almost like it's one single workout. Like it's a ladder that you change movements on, and it's been really fun. I've probably done it maybe like 3 or 4 times, and I'll do it if I'm in a rush. Like, okay, I have 40 minutes to train,
oh, yeah.
and I'll just do every minute on the minute, and then once I'm done, I'm out of there.
Again, Doug's rush workout is 40 minutes long, just so you know.
Sweet pump, man.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet pump. Sweet.
Should
pump.
We take a break, and then Chris Moore's the focus when we come back?
Yes! Oh. I can't wait to share with you what I've been doing lately. Nothing great.
I can't either.
This is Tim Ferriss, and you are listening to Barbell Shrugged. For the video version, go to barbellshrugged.com.
Barbell Shrugged is brought to you by you. To learn more about how you can support the show, go to barbellshrugged.com and sign up for the newsletter.
3, 2, 1.
I wish I could be as strong as Arnold. One rep, two, oh. Look at this guy in his Ponzi squat form. His glutes are not even firing correctly. His mustache, he looks like a porn mustache here. Look at this. I got to warm up to that okay accent. That's my best bet on the spot.
And we're back. We are going to cover Chris Moore's training here, what he's been up to lately. And we're going to get CTPs.
No
yeah.
way.
Yeah, yeah. Because CTP, you know, he's the newest of all of us to getting
I went from raviolis
as jacked
as possible. To kind of training. So
you just want
to
go ahead and do yours? You tantalize them with a ravioli story already.
What?
You said raviolis.
Yeah.
You went from raviolis to strong. So how'd you do that? I mean, do you want to go ahead and do yours? You want me to go?
Let's go, Chris.
Okay, let's go, Chris.
Go
me.
Let's go. We'll go you, and then we'll get back to CTP.
Well, what do you want to know,
I think
Michael?
CTPs is actually the most relevant.
Okay, yeah. Well,
but you're going to have to wait.
Grand finale.
Wait until we get to the back.
Grand finale.
So what have you been doing lately?
Well, yeah. I mean, oddly enough, I actually am gearing up to compete again. Hold on. I know what you're thinking. Chris, don't hurt him. Don't go out there and impress him too much. That's a joke. I haven't competed. It's been since maybe like 2009. So I've been on the shelf for a while. In that time working, had a baby and whatnot. Got a little...
Two.
You had a baby.
Two babies. I look great, don't I? For two babies? My wife had the babies. I'm mostly just kind of clumsily trying to make sure they don't die on my watch. You know what I'm saying?
So far, so good.
Yeah, so I'm actually at a point now where things are settling down. We're still busy as hell, but I can actually devote time now to training to kind of... This is what I love the most. I haven't done it so long. I'm like, fuck it, man. I love this shit. There's no reason why I'm not going to get back on the saddle, so to speak, and do it. I might not, like, ever hit a PR again, but that's not what's important. The important thing is just doing it. So to do that, again, I'm competing, like, June 27th. Jesse Berger's got a meet up in CSA Gym. And what city is that? Pleasanton, California, I think. I'm going to do that meet.
Something near Oakland.
Yeah, I'm going to do that competition. Now, I can zoom out and say what I've been doing to kind of get myself here for, like, a year and a half. You guys have seen me struggle with this. I've been trying to fix my posture for a long time.
Struggle with a lot of things.
Like, one of the things I did in the past to get my squat okay was that I just did a lot of good mornings and stuff and really was big and strong, trying to make myself stay upright, but having poor spinal mechanics. Some of it's natural. Some of it is just poor posture, and it was never important, so I never really worked it. So I spent, like, 2 years not trying to be a whale, but doing weightlifting movements where I was trying to get comfortable finally with the front squat. Right now I can front squat pretty casual, like 450 or something. When I was squatting in powerlifting, I could squat 975 wide stance with gear and everything in me, but I could squat fucking 400 pounds in the front squat because I would just fold over immediately.
Yeah.
Just wide stance, low bar, hinging at the hips type of squatter and all that. So I went back and for 2 years did a lot of upright stuff, lots of pause work, Doug, like in the front squat where I just walk the bar out and breathe for a while, holding it and fighting for position each time and then doing light sets in the front squat, pausing a lot, using chains in the front squat a lot. I like using chains. So after about 2 years, I got my posture sort of reestablished. And for the past couple months, I've been pushing the lifting a little bit. The big change is that I don't really train as heavy as I used to because I really can't, and that sucks and all. Mm-hmm. But the writing's on the wall, time is ticking away, and I can't really recover from it. We're all recognizing that. So when it comes to heavy barbell stuff, I still pretty much do West Side stuff, Doug. I alternate upper and lower body, so mm-hmm. it'd be like a bench workout, and then a really squat-focused workout, and then upper body work, and then like a deadlift-focused workout, bouncing between. Typical of what you'd see West Side guys doing. The difference is I don't go heavy. I don't push for a number every week. I think about one number on each main lift once a month. So if I'm starting, if today's Monday, and this is my first week of training, I only think about the next 4 weeks and what will be good for me in 3 weeks' time, because I do an easy week, a moderate week, a heavy week where I'm going for something, and then I unload. Where the fourth week is easy, I just repeat that. So the first 2 weeks are all about preparing myself to have a shot at getting the modest progress lift on that third week. So if I'm doing squats, I think about, I want to squat 400 pounds for 8 sets of 2 on week 3. That would be good. So I work backwards from there and say, well, I start with 335, 8 sets of 2. I know I can do that. It's easy. I'll be primed. I can move well, check my form. And over 2 weeks, I know I'll have a good shot of hitting the 400. So I keep my volume lower. I try to get a higher quality of work in that time. Mm. But I can't squat heavy like I used to. I can't squat every other day heavy. My shoulders won't handle it. So I have to think of a way to get that work in, right? I can't like just squat heavy once a month and try to do a powerlifting meet. So what I've leaned on heavily, I got this idea from Glenn Pendley. Years ago, we talked about how it's important, especially as you get older in lifting, to do more assistance work, to get the work in when you otherwise couldn't. Like if you can't recover from frequent squatting, you don't sit on your ass and not do anything. You find a way to squat in some form that's easier to recover. That's actually one reason I got this big awesome thing here, this fucking Pit Shark thing. Belt squat machine, folks at home, but this machine is not quite as hard on my shoulders or my spine as a back squat, right? When the weight is just sitting on top of me. Mm-hmm. But I can do heavy squats, even with heavy bands on this thing, very frequently, like every day, and have no problem recovering on it. You can do the same thing with like leg presses, for example. Lunges, Doug, like I said, I can sneak the work in without creating a huge recovery demand. So I can do that where else I would otherwise be trying to push the squat or something, so I can stay injury free. The other thing is a shitload of kettlebell work, man. You know, for years I was kind of like not on the kettlebell bandwagon. I'm like, why don't you just fucking do the barbell because it's heavier and get stronger? Like, I know it's great and you can swing your bells for an hour. That's great, man. But like, why don't you fucking, you know, just do a snatch? I used to be kind of arrogant that way. It was like powerlifting or weightlifting, or, you know, why are you wasting your time? Now I realize that's kind of like stupid, silly bullshit. Because kettlebells are great in between. You can do speed work and jumps and sprints, like Doug was saying, to train for speed, because you need speed to lift huge weights. You got to be able to get the fucking weight moving. You got to do heavy work, because that's, there's no replacement for a heavy squat. But I feel the in-between space, all the reps now, with a lot of kettlebell swings for lots of reps. And I don't make it too hard. I just do a lot of cleaning swings, kettlebell snatch, and heavy one-arm snatches. And what I've found is that my hands strength has come up, my durability in my arms, so now I can train the deadlift better again. Like, my hands feel good. The other huge thing I've noticed is that every time I swing a kettlebell and I work on sort of initiating with my hips first, or my hips and abs, so I kind of thrust out with my abs to initiate the weight. And when I start getting good at that, when the kettlebell swings got effortless, on speed days, when I do my West Side style box squats, I could all of a sudden, instead of having the weight sitting on top of me, I was leveraging it down through my abs and my hips. So I was kind of just popping the weight up instead of squatting down and pushing with my weight or my feet and raising the load. I was thinking of it more of sitting back, coiling like a spring, and then popping my abs as the bar was starting to explode.
So you had your whole system just kind of integrated.
Things
versus
have been integrated better. My posture's better. I'm using my abs and core better. And now all of a sudden, even though I don't quite have like the ability to recover and like the talent I used to for strength, you know, I think I could maybe do, you can't predict it, but I can get within 90% of my best form of raw squat, I think, in time. Like, I maybe can do 600 or 650 or something raw at this meet, maybe. I hope to do that. For me, it's pretty good. I haven't really trained. I got two kids. I don't really sleep that much. 34, drug-free, not eating all the time as I should, but that's pretty fucking good for where I'm at
now. You have been sleeping more lately, though.
I have, but not with this move. Jesus.
When did you decide you were going to compete?
Up until last week, he was doing pretty good.
Right before the move, I was like, you know what, it's time to step back on the platform, because I was really disappointed that I wasn't, you know, no longer do I think of competing as I want to win this thing. I think of it as I need to have a marker or a metric, something in my life to hold me accountable, something I see in 12 weeks or 6 months' time that I can work back from and create an incentive to do the preparation. It's like, if you're a CrossFitter,
that's more important?
Yeah, if you're a CrossFit and you want to get stronger, you could pick a power meet or something as a way of laying out a 14-week timeline and work back. Say, this would be a good number. I work back. And it's a strong incentive to pull you from a weaker state into a stronger state because you better, because you're going to step up and you have this thing to do. You know, it's,
yeah.
The formally makes it an incentivized thing. I'll quickly say one more thing. The reason why I did my office this way, yes, it's convenient. I can just blow out all the dust. I don't have to like clean an office and clean my gym. So it's an advantage. But really why I did this is I can sit over here and work. Like I don't, my final point, I don't like doing a training session anymore. What I like to do is to spread my workout as much as possible. All that matters when you're getting strong is like the work you're accumulating over time. Let's say if it's a month. In that month time, there's a certain amount of squats that you should do or you could do. There's a certain amount of work you could be done. You could do it all in these hour or 2 hour blocks, 4 days a week, or you could spread it all out. So what I do is I'll work a little bit and I'll plan on doing, you know, 20 minutes of hard kettlebell work. I'll do that and I'll go back to work. So I kind of flip flop between the two. There's no like hard line between work session and training session. I try to move as much as possible throughout the day. It keeps my recovery time down. It makes my mobility better. It makes me feel better. I work better because now I sort of excite my mind with the kettlebell work or the sunshine or the deadlifts. If I want to do strength work later in the day after my day is done, I'll come over here and do some crisp, clean speed deadlifts or something where the only thing I'm thinking about, I'm not thinking about the second exercise after deadlifts. I'm not thinking about the WOD that comes after that. All I'm thinking about, how can I pull as efficiently and make the most of this next 10, 15 minutes as possible? And for me, that's helped me get a really high quality result from my training.
Nice.
Boom.
Love it.
I got to put that in heat book.
Right,
maybe
CTP,
clean it up a little bit.
You want me to hold the camera?
No.
That thing's expensive, man. Don't break that shit.
No, I've been doing super basic stuff. I think after listening to what you guys were saying, it's like coming back at like hearing everything y'all saying, I would have a whole bunch of questions. Like I was saying earlier, like when do I do this? When do I do that? Mm-hmm. What I've learned recently is that my problem wasn't what program should I do? When should I do this? When can I implement that? My problem was that I just wasn't fucking consistent. And I think there's probably a lot of people who are in that same boat. And it's easy to realize you're not consistent, but then it's another thing to try to figure out how do I now go get consistent all of a sudden?
Yeah.
So I really tried to like hone in on just doing what you always say, which is just get to the gym and then the rest will take care of itself. And,
You've had a nice morning ritual of training.
Yeah, I started doing, well, since we podcasted with Corey, he had the piece Corey. About waking up early and you know, getting it done. And with, you know, with the amount of work that we do for the podcast and otherwise, I found that if I didn't train in the morning, then shit would be added to my plate. And then I would quickly be like, come up with excuses on why
not
I wasn't going
to train.
Gonna train.
Yeah.
Right. And it would happen way more than I would, you know, if I wrote it out on paper how many times it happened, probably way more than I would have thought
admitted
if I
to
didn't.
Otherwise,
yeah. So getting the training done in the AM, like just waking up, I can tell you what I was doing earlier, but I pretty much wake up and then an hour later train. And it was early enough in the morning. I was training at 6 and I'd train for an hour and a half, 2 hours. And then that was still early enough where none of you guys, plus everyone else on our team, was going to call me and ask me to do shit.
Oh, that's true.
So it was like, where otherwise if I...
We're all still going like, where's the fucking coffee? God, my eyes are blurry. What did you make me take last night, Mike? Fuck.
But if I waited to train at 3 or something, then, you know, this is the nature of what we do. It's like, hey, Chris, I need you to do this. Hey, can you do this for me? And it's like, I already had enough to do that day, and then you stress me out by giving me some more shit. And I say this because I'm sure my job compared to what most of our listeners are doing is probably way less stressful. You know, I love what I do, so there's probably people who don't do that, and they probably get, you know, stuff added to their plate.
Sure.
So I see that this is probably like a big problem, and if I'm loving what I'm doing and having that problem, then it's probably even worse for some others. But getting it done in the morning, I don't even care what the science behind, if there is anything, any benefits of all that. For me, I just found that it really helped me to, I'm relating it back to the consistency piece, helped me be more consistent because I then wasn't allowing myself the opportunity to then push it off.
Well, it's like, you know, people, I've gotten in conversations are like, oh, what's the most important part of training? And, you know, what's the key principle? And people are like, intensity. I'm like, or just frequency. Like, if you don't show up, it doesn't matter how intense you are. Like,
I was going to say,
like,
too,
I'd rather see, like, a lower intensity, higher frequency training program, you know, if someone's actually going to show up to.
You right. mentioned, like, I don't know if there's a scientific reason. People might get too focused on the scientific reasons because, like, you might get caught up in, should I train in the morning or evening? I don't know, like, what physiologically is best? When my nutrient timing and all?
Well, it depends.
Do
on
I have you, the energy in the morning?
Or do what, you want to burn fat all day or not?
I want to get huge, bro. I want to get so huge, knuckle deep ab ridges. No, but there's that, right? And that's a consideration. There's also the consideration of what sets your day up to be, like, the most productive, awesome thing possible, you know, and what will overall let you get more of a consistent strength training experience of getting a jump on things and getting the work done before your crazy ass, you know, law or medical or student lifestyle, whatever, soccer mom lifestyle, whatever kicks into gear, getting the most important thing and the investment in yourself first done in the day. That sets up a huge positive waves of events in your day. It doesn't matter what the scientific physiological thing is. If it works better for you, go for it.
Yeah. Psychology trumps science
so.
All the time, right?
I mean, it's yeah. I see well, it. I see it in gyms all over the world all the time. People doing okay training programs, but they're doing it in a group, so they're pushing harder and showing up more often.
You cannot discount
yeah.
that, man.
Yeah, sure. I agree with what you said. I think Alan Cosgrove is the guy that really popularized that saying of psychology trumps physiology every single time, and I really think that's true. One of the things that you've mentioned to me in the last couple of weeks is that ever since we podcasted with Corey Gregory and John Bros and the squat every day stuff has kind of been really in the forefront of all our minds lately. CTP's tried that lately and had really good results with it. In part, and I'm speaking for you, and you can comment on this in a second. In part, what you told me was that since you're squatting every day and you view squatting as something that is very important, you're way more motivated to show up that day.
Oh, for sure.
Want to comment on that?
Yeah. Because, well, two things. Squat, yeah, I view it as more important, and it's like it's the one thing that, and this might just sound cheese, but it's the one thing that feels like I'm actually doing something. Like, you know, mm-hmm. you never get done with a set of squats and you're like, oh, I didn't do anything. Like, you feel like, oh,
yeah,
I've done something.
I fucking squatted. Mm-hmm. It was really hard to right. do what I just did, and I right. did it. Yay right. me.
So you feel good about your workout
you feel good
every
about your
single
workout.
Day.
Yeah. Whereas sometimes, you know, if you're doing a program or something, you're going to have those days where it's not the squat. It's just, you know, the easy day or something like that. And I'm not saying that there's not a place for that, but what it did is it made it where I cared every day. And because squatting's fun. To me, it is anyway. Maybe some people it's not, and this wouldn't apply, but squatting to me was fun. So the idea of waking up every day and getting to do that was like, hell yeah. Like, sign me up. Mm-hmm. Like, because I'm not going to go in there and be like, oh, here's the stuff that I want, that I know I need to do. So it helped in that regard. And the previous to this, this is the most consistent I've ever been, but previous to this, it was when I was doing CrossFit. And CrossFit's the same thing. It's just fun. So I think the kind of underlying thing there is just making it fun again.
And
in this case, squat was fun.
If
so.
It's fun and you care, surprise, you have great results. Right. Did you change the way you were eating and fueling yourself at all? How'd your diet change? I'm begging the question because I know how, I mean, I've eaten some meals with you. I've been, you know, adding to the problem, I guess, but it's not. You have great results.
Well, previously it was like I'd do like a treat meal or a cheat meal occasionally, and for the most part try to stay, you know, not super, super, super clean paleo, but pretty much like as best you can. And what I found out,
not drinking dairy and keeping your carbs down and all
that
classic
stuff. And now I'll
just
eat whatever I want. That doesn't mean eating like shit all the time. But if I want waffles, damn it, I'm going to eat some waffles. If I want some pancakes, if I want some rice, if I want just, you know, like
hallelujah, preach, brother, preach, oh,
all that kind of stuff. But
a little more carb friendly lately.
Yeah, but post workout.
Yeah,
it's like
there you go.
So I'd go do my squats.
Surprise.
I'd go do my squats, and then I'd be like,
"Look, if you haven't figured out you should eat the carbs after your workout by now, you have not been listening to the show.
Just eat the fucking carbs."
But hold on, here's the thing: is I don't know if this is right or wrong, but I'd crush a fuck ton of carbs. Like it'd be like more than I thought. Like if left to my own devices, I would have been like, "Yeah, a little cup of rice." Like no, I'd crush like 150 grams of carbs. Just
didn't you also say
it all depends. Like if you can do 150 grams of carbs and you're not, and you're measuring and you're not getting body fat and you're putting on muscle mass, then maybe you're doing a good thing. But for some people, taking in that much carbs after they may be putting on excess fat and they're like, okay, maybe I need to dial it back. But it's all about, like, you know, no two people are the same. People have different training volumes, different stresses in life. You gotta, like, that's very individualized.
Well, I'll say this though. It's not about just being able to eat whatever I want, and that's cool and fine. But what I was doing was mostly eating vegetables. Like, yeah, vegetables are carbs, but you're not going to get like
rabbits eat vegetables, dude.
Yeah,
you're not going to
get that. You're not going to get shit. Like, even if you eat a lot of vegetables, that's just like still you could eat a fuck ton of vegetables, and that's just no carbs. Nothing.
You're not a gorilla. Your body doesn't work the same way. You need to eat fucking meat
after
and stuff.
A workout. You can't just crush a whole bunch of vegetables. It doesn't matter. You could eat a whole.
smorgasbord of vegetables, and that's not going to be what you needed after work.
Post-workout, just divide your plate in half, put meat on one side, put rice or carbs, whatever carbs you want, on the other side, and that's a great post-workout meal.
Yeah. CP, did you say your overall appetite was picking up too?
Yeah.
Because I think that's a great sign that you're heading in the right direction. If you're getting really hungry, if you're sleeping really good. Like, I always talked about that with Dr. Brian Schilling. He's been on the show. Fuck, man, I don't know. Search it. Numbers early on and whatever.
Yeah.
He's a great resource, my former mentor. Well, still a mentor. But he's always talked about how whenever you would get to where you're feeling good in the gym and you had this fucking insatiable hunger, man, I've been fucking killing food lately, and you're feeling good, guess what? You sort of now have bumped your body into a very favorable state. So if you're getting hungry, good. If you are not looking forward to training and your appetite is kind of shitty and your goal is to gain, that's like a big warning sign for you.
That's actually, I mean, we were kind of discounting this earlier as like, what time of day should you train? For me, I like to train in the a.m. if I'm trying to gain weight, because it bumps right after I train, for the rest of the day, my appetite skyrockets. So yeah. I'm going to just put down more calories total if I train earlier in the day versus later in the day.
If you're really hungry, it's a good sign that you're not just like shoveling food and storing it as fat. Your body is telling you, give me some fucking building supplies, man. Eat, and you got to eat. Like, well, Donnie Shank would give you that advice. You want to get strong, motherfucker, you got to eat some food.
The right types of foods too, though. Yeah. I mean, you want to make sure you get
good
enough
food. Like complete protein. What a farmer would feed you after a hard day's labor, like some meat and some potatoes and shit and a big glass of fucking whole milk. That's what's going to make you strong. And you put some vegetables on the side because, you know, via vitamins and shit and whatever.
Pump and eat.
Pump and eat, baby.
Eat vegetables the rest of the day. Trust me.
Just take like a green pill once a day. Like a green, it fucking carries all your concerns in one little tiny serving. That's what I do. I'm joking.
I hope people sense your sarcasm.
I also been doing bodybuilding. When I say bodybuilding, but I mean like the bro stuff. Like, I just never did that. Because for people who don't know, I didn't start training until I was like really training. Like, until I was like 24, 23, 24.
Like most CrossFitters, they just now are starting.
Like, I'm talking like nothing. It wasn't like in high school. I was playing, I was a guitarist in bands and stuff. So I just didn't care. And I was fat, triple chins, like just not. It wasn't good. It wasn't a good scene, but
you didn't do incline dumbbell press for 5 sets of 10 for like 10 years in a row like the rest of us did?
And I would say,
it's weird. All these really successful athletes tend to have done the bodybuilding stuff for a while before they got into anything.
If you're pushing your squat and your snatch, like, I'm doing everything right, why can't I recover? You didn't do just all the years of preparation, man. Foundation's not there.
So what specifically have you been doing lately?
As part of, well, when we came back, talked to Corey, you know, I was like, I'm going to do the squat every day, and I just squatted every day. But then he eventually, a month later, put out an actual program that they had. And in that program, it's like you do your squat and then you do bro out gym stuff. And I was like, I was all about it. It was fun. It was different. It was novel to me, at least, because I had never done it. Mm-hmm.
I think about going back to it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so, man. Just some dumbbell benches and some.
Anything you could think of. Go pick up a muscle fitness, and just anything that's in there is what I was doing pretty much. Just lots of that stuff. And now I can actually work my chest muscles. I can do the little.
You can do the.
I can't do it like that.
He was talking about how.
I couldn't even activate them.
Had I not done. Had the bodybuilding years, I would never be able to
He'd be benching and I'd be like
the pec pop.
Do you feel that? Like, where's it work? He'd be like, I don't know, kind of. Like, man, your chest really should be working when you're doing this. You know, as an example, doing the reps teaches you how to use your body.
Isolating the muscles and having them fire is
like
a really
CTP does
thing.
5 sets of 5 on the bench and is frustrated at his progress. He can't use his chest. Of course,
but since I started with CrossFit, it's pretty much where I started. And you know, the bodybuilding is kind of like not cool in CrossFit. So I was like, I always shunned it. And you know, then we travel enough and hear enough, and you know, and I know most of you guys have done it, and like now it's finally like, okay, no, this stuff has merit, and it's just my own shit.
It's just bodybuilding is just a ton of assistance work.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just a bunch of assistance work.
And now look at you, look at this dude, and that's fucking cannonball.
And that's what we recommend people do. You know, do your strength work, do your assistance work. It could be considered bodybuilding, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you wanted to, at the end of especially some of your upper body days, want to throw in, you know, 3 sets of 8 to 12 of incline dumbbell press or standing dumbbell press or curls or heavy lateral raises or bent rows even fall into that category in a lot of ways.
Probably need to do pulling.
Seated rows, anything with cables. Cable work is great. Like, all this stuff is
machines.
All this stuff isn't necessarily.
A machine that's not a concept two rower.
God.
I never understood how that was in the mix. To do all that stuff at the end of your workout, it's just a little bit of extra volume to just top off all the rest of the stuff you're doing. It's supplementary work. It's really only like, you know, 1 to 5% of everything that you're doing. doing. It's not all the work. It's just a little bit to top off your training. So if you're not doing it, though, you're probably left with some imbalances that you could go correct. You just haven't done it yet.
Yeah.
That stuff makes you feel good, too. And also, it also helps on, like, wads and stuff. If you get, like, more fit legs from doing lunges, it's going to translate over into your wads.
Imbalances Doug's talking about, like, if muscles aren't firing, you might be leaving, up to 100 pounds on a squat if you just... All you have to do is do single leg work for a couple months.
You don't need fancy programming. Don't need new supplements. All you need to do is just be consistent and just do more work.
Full contact twist with a V handle. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Like that handle that goes down to an angled bar and you just swing like this. Like, that's my favorite supplementary work of all time. I don't know if I'd call it bodybuilding work, but that's the kind of stuff that I love to do at the end of my workout.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to let you finish, but what do you call that thing?
Full contact twist.
Full contact twist is the greatest assistance look exercise of all time.
Fail.
All right, let's shut this show down. And the wheels are coming off.
No, they're not.
All right. Make sure to go over to barbellshrug.com, sign for the newsletter. And
you got that muscle building guide that you guys made? Who made it?
Some guy.
CTP and I and Alex and...
And Alex and Mack.
Team effort.
And put Golden, together some of the coaches.
It's 100% free. And guess what? 100% dopeness. Download
100%
that
dopeness. If you click on the sidebar banner on the site, there should be something that says, get the muscle gain guide. It's free on there if you want to check it out.
It's called How to Get Strong. So look for something like that.
And it's really great. I'm like, not bullshitting. Go see for yourself.
Yeah. There you go. Thanks for joining
us. Also, go give us some of... Like, if you're listening to this, I will give you $100. $100.
Robbie's listening. He wants $100.
Take a pause. Head over to iTunes.
You're about to be broke, fool.
Give us a 5-star review.
Submit your reimbursement query, too.
That's all I got to say.
CTP gives you money at barbellshrug.com.
This is going to be episode 177. It's a lot of hours, folks. We do this for free. I will give you $100 if you go.
We are turning into PBS slowly.
Go give us a 5-star review.
With just 1 5-star comment review, you get this Barbell Shrug complimentary signed mug. Oh, look at that. Look at that. And for $200, this jacket, Barbell Shrug jacket. All right.
No, but seriously, go give us 5-star.
All right, I'll see you guys later.
See you guys.